Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Dunamis Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamis Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm back with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Welcome back, Catherine.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I think we have kind of an interesting topic in a way. You know, I mean, I find this to be a good topic for us to talk about with our listeners and with each other. And that is, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, get kind of dry. I mean, let's get real. I've gone through periods where it's just, like, not appealing.
Yeah, and to be transparent just right off the bat here, that's something that I feel like I've been struggling with for a few months, really, is just trying to find what he wants me to read.
Right.
You know, because I feel like when I start reading somewhere, I just don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it, don't feel like I'm hearing anything. It doesn't feel personal or relevant.
Right.
And, you know, there are pastors that will talk about, well, if you don't know where to start in the Bible, start with this book. Start with Mark, or start with, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I'll try that, and I'm like, but it still just doesn't feel like it's connecting or making a deep impact.
Well, you know, so today we want to talk about just kind of the journey of reconnecting with the Word and maybe some ideas or concepts of ways to approach our reading differently or, you know, different things like that. One of the things that pops into my mind is because sometimes buying a Bible can be a huge investment. I mean, it depends on the Bible you buy, the store you go to, and all of that. What, you know, do I get a leather cover? Do I not? Do I get a hardbound? You know, so in a lot of ways, it can seem like a pretty large financial investment to get your Bible.
Right.
Right, just to get it, just to start there. And today with the apps, though, it's a lot easier to find different Bibles. I am still, you know, enamored with having a paper book in front of me that I can write my notes in and I can highlight and, you know, I can feel it in my fingers, you know, and so I like that. But I have found that sometimes being in the same version for a really long time can cause me to be like, yeah, I already got this. Okay. You know, what new is there for me? I've read this, been there, done that kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was a baby believer, I wanted to absorb what the Word was saying to me, and I had really good vision then. I mean, I had 20/20 because I was like 23 years old, but I actually bought a large print Bible so that I wouldn't have to strain my eyes.
Really?
I just wanted to read the Word and have it just be relaxed, because I hear a lot of new believers say, I have no idea what I'm reading, or they're struggling to actually understand the words. And I felt kind of idiotic, but I'll tell you, that was kind of one of the best things I did when I was trying to learn what does the Word actually say.
Yeah. Right now, being in my late 30s and starting to need reading glasses, there's a part of me that goes, but I don't want to get large print. Because that might mean that my eyes actually need it. But I totally hear what you're saying about just being able to see the Word and read the Word for what it is and not have to
strain to actually see the print.
Yeah.
I found that as a beginning place, it allowed my brain to be relaxed, because if I was straining to actually read the words, my mind, my brain was working there rather than just being relaxed to let what the Word was saying come in. And that was really powerful for me, believe it or not. I still have that Bible. That's the first Bible I ever actually bought. Someone had given me one when I was first born again. And then I wanted to just relax and read, and I actually bought this large print Bible when I was 33. And I still have it, and I need it again. So it's a good thing
it's
there.
Might be back to needing it, huh?
For a totally different reason.
Yeah, there is that. You know, and one thing I want to be real with, too, is that having this struggle, I feel a little bit of you know, embarrassment or
yes.
shame or whatever. And because I do realize that it's not all about me.
Right.
Even though
it's not.
I know. I'd like for it.
Well, that's usually why I'm not reading the Bible, because I'm kind of focused on me. And maybe not on what Jesus wants to tell me.
I know. And so, you know, I do want to be upfront with recognizing that I totally get that this is probably a selfish, prideful thing that I don't know. Maybe I just need to pray longer, harder, more faith.
Which is kind of it.
We joke about it.
But. Yeah, we do. But, you know, I found over the years, and I have been a believer for well over 30 years now, and I've really pursued the Lord, and a lot of that is because, you know, right from the jump, God told me how he was going to speak to me and present to me. And not everybody gets the same messages or gets the word the same way.
Right.
But one thing that I knew coming out of my background was I had a sensitivity to the spirit realm.
Mm.
Okay. So as a believer, that meant I had to have a good understanding of the word of God. Otherwise, it would be real easy for me to be fooled as to whether or not what I was getting or hearing or perceiving, was it from Jesus or was it from the Holy Spirit or was it from a different spirit?
Oh, right.
And because I had a background of knowing what those other spirits were about, it was really important for me to understand the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because he lines up everything with his word.
Right.
And if you don't know the word and if it's not hidden in your heart, it's very easy to get fooled on that stuff. So I only say that to say that then the dry periods, for me personally, felt kind of dangerous, yeah. if that makes sense. Because I had to find a way to engage.
Right. Because you needed to still be aware or keep learning of what God's word was.
Right.
Right.
It would become very easy to slide off into spiritual mixture.
Oh, right.
Listening to wrong spirits, not understanding if what I'm hearing was from God, from something else. And so the dry periods were actually very, very concerning to me.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you had mentioned to me when we were prepping is that even if we get off target, God always invites us back, that we always have a do-over, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was in preparing, I was trying to think and pray to myself and hearing that as well, that it's never too late.
Right.
Thankfully, it's never, you know, I felt like Jesus was speaking that to me at least, you know, that
right.
it's never too late to come back and to learn and to tell God, I want to try again.
Right. And so as a baby Christian, one of the things I knew was people would talk about application of the word.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd read it and I'd be like, I don't really know how to make this relevant to my life, or how does it apply to my life, or what does it do for my life? And so I actually found, because I'm a self-starter, no surprise to anybody in this room, I went to the bookstore and I found this little series of these little individual Bible study books, like, oh, the you know, how God loves you, what does it mean to follow Jesus, you know, just these little small ones. And I would sit and do them by myself. And, like, they had the answer key in the back of them. And
so were they like a devotional, or were they...
They were more like a Bible study, like a topical study. And they might have... they're probably about the, like, a 5x7 size, a little paperback stapled in the middle.
Gotcha.
Because there's only, like, 30 pages or, you know, I don't know. And I found that that helped the word to come alive into me as far as what did it mean if I actually was going to believe what the Bible says to me?
Right.
What did it mean if I was going to apply it to my life?
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was sit and think in terms of how does this apply to me? Now, again, that's a little bit of a self-focus. I understand that. But initially, we have to engage it to us.
Yeah. Got to start somewhere, right?
Right. And if I don't understand it for me and how it's active in my life, then how do I tell someone else, go read the word?
True.
Right.
Very true. Yeah. You know what? What I find, see, even going through kind of a dry period of my own self-study, I still am feeling engaged during like Sunday morning services at our church. We go to a church where the pastor teaches verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And, you know, and so he is, you know, that I still find really interesting. And I think part of it is, I don't know where he gets his information, but he gives like background story or like more in depth of, okay, so, you know, this was going on at the time.
And right.
Finding that or listening to that background information, I find is interesting.
Yeah.
And it helps to...
It can help put the word in a context.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
And so, Catherine, there's several things I did over the years to try to engage the word, because there you do something for a while. Like one of them was these Bible... Well, the first thing was the large print Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It was massive. And I had that at home with me because, you know, it's big. But then I also had a small pocket Bible that I could carry with me and take other places when I was at church or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I did these like little self-studies, you know, these little self-Bible studies to help me engage with the Word, for me to keep myself reading. It gave me an excuse every day to have to go look and see where am I and what does the Word want to say to me and what is it teaching me about this topic.
Yeah.
But I have done a lot of different things over the years to engage the Word, to make it fresh. To try to keep it new to me.
Right.
Because it does get dry. One of the things I did soon after that, my next Bible phase, if you will, because one of the things is I read Bibles in different English versions a lot.
Okay.
Part of it is because I get something else out of a verse when it's written in a little bit different way.
Okay. So what can you give me an example?
Well, okay, so my large print Bible was the New American Standard.
Okay.
Okay, and I've read all the way through it at least once.
Wow.
Then I went to an NIV. And the NIV I went to, I had small kids at home. It was a woman's devotional Bible.
Okay.
And yes, it felt easier to understand than my New American Standard did. And it had these devotions for housewives and women in there. And it would help engage the Word. You know, I'd read the Word, and then I'd read these devotionals that were throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
One that I have absolutely never forgotten was a story. They weren't really devotionals as much as women telling stories about trying to live for Jesus and be wives and moms and all that stuff. So I've never forgotten the woman who wrote the story about cleaning her bathroom and crying through the whole thing because she hated to clean her bathroom.
Aww.
And praying to Jesus about even this Jesus, because she had just read, and it was the section on everything that you do, do unto the Lord.
Mm.
And that she was crying and saying, even this, even this. And Jesus is saying to her, yes, even this you can do unto me.
Aww.
And so that gave me a little bit of a new perspective on how the Word can be applied to everything that we do.
Yeah.
Even this.
Wow.
And whether it's emptying garbage cans or cleaning your toilet or, you know, whatever. So I moved through that. And then I, different times in my life, I have actually, my brother challenged me, and he's not a Christian. And he said, I've never met a Christian who's actually read the Bible all the way through.
Oh.
So that was when I was like, oh, well, you're just about to. That was my first time. Reading all the way through.
Yes, you okay. Like a good challenge.
I do like a good challenge, especially when it's to show somebody that what they just said is wrong.
Oh, I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll show you what a Christian can do. And it's funny because years later, I sent him a message and I said, you challenged me that day. And since then, I've read through 8 different versions from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And I thank you for the challenge.
Oh.
And he's never responded.
Oh,
yeah. Because then he might have to acknowledge Christians read their Bible.
Oh, now he has met a Christian
who's read the Bible all the way through. And so some of the versions I was able to sort of pinpoint, and I did change them based on kind of where my life was. And really, honestly, which Bible was on sale at the bookstore? Which one was on the $5 shelf?
Oh, yeah.
And believe me, there are Bibles on a $5 shelf if you look.
I am going to have to look.
Yeah. And so I would go to the bookstore, the shelf sale, and I would say, okay, well, you know, I'm ready for a new version.
What's
on sale?
Yeah. Well, God can use anything, right?
Right. And it kept it fresh. Uh-huh. It kind of kept the Word fresh to me.
Yeah.
But versions I've gone all the way through are NIV, New American Standard, God's Word, New Century Bible, the Holman Christian Standard, the New Jerusalem Bible, the Good News Bible. I have not gone all the way through the Amplified, but I've referenced it. The Living Bible and the Message.
Wow.
Okay, and that's a lot. So I will talk a little bit more about how that's been helpful, but we're just going to take a quick break and let people know how they can talk to us.
Yeah.
Or connect with us. Sorry.
Yeah.
You can talk to us, too.
Yeah, we can start. If you want to talk to us, give us a call. It's 719-231-7183. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, search Dunamis Center Ministries. And Dunamis is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamisLife. And a lot of people connect by email, and that address for us is DunamisLife@DunamisCenter.com.
Okay, thank you. And at our website, you can order all of our materials, and we'll be happy to ship those out to you as soon as possible.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, Catherine, while you were reading that, I looked down at that list I just read, and the Good News Bible grabbed me, and here's the reason why. I went to a vacation Bible school when I was like 10 years old, and it was at a Methodist church in a little small town, and we rode our horses there. Let me just tell you that.
Wow.
So, yeah. We rode our horses 5 miles to go to this vacation Bible school. Now, it was I was raised Catholic. We've mentioned that. So this was my first time in a Protestant church. And as you said earlier, I love a good challenge. And the challenge there was whoever could memorize the most out of the Book of John would get this prize, which was your own Good News Bible.
Oh.
Okay. And so I memorized the most verses.
Wow.
For my age group.
Okay.
So I had this Bible on my shelf for a very long time. And the reason I'm telling this story is occasionally throughout my life, I would open it up and I would start to read it. I'd start to read in Matthew or Mark, as you mentioned, or something. And I would sit down and I'd go, I have no idea what this is saying.
Really?
Yes. I have no clue what this book is talking about.
Which version again did you say?
Well, it was the Good News version.
Okay.
Now, the reason I'm telling that story is because the Bible says to us that the written word is the inspired word from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that if you want to understand what it says, you need the Holy Spirit.
Ah, right.
So if I'm not born again, guess what I don't have?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay. So I'm looking at this Bible. It's mine. I actually still have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very precious to me because it was the first time I had learned anything about born again and Jesus and all that, even though I didn't follow through or get it or give my life to the Lord that summer. It was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it. And
do you mean that when you were a child, like you said, 12,
18, I didn't understand what it was
because
saying.
Because you didn't have
because
the Holy
Spirit
Because
I didn't have
yet.
The Holy Spirit yet.
I see.
So then when I was born again, when I was 23, I opened the Bible up and all of a sudden it all started to make sense.
Mm.
Because the Bible says we have the Holy Spirit when we're born again and give our lives to Jesus.
Right.
So now it suddenly started to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when things got really dry, I would just ask the Holy Spirit to refresh my eyes on the Word because He wrote it. And, you know, am I not connecting with Jesus? Am I not letting the Holy Spirit walk with me? Am I not letting Him in to guide and direct what I'm reading?
Yeah.
So I would have to ask myself that question and maybe confess that, again, we talked last week about maybe I just didn't want to.
Okay.
And I might have had to acknowledge that and let the Holy Spirit refresh my heart towards it.
Yes. That's powerful and definitely meaningful for me. You know, I'd like to say that I'm going to make a commitment now to go home and do that. And Lord willing, I'll follow through and hopefully see a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, another thing that Jesus was talking to me about too was the fact that it's never too late.
Never.
It is never too late to come back to Him and say, I do want to learn. Help me want to learn. You know, and it reminded me of the prodigal son, you know. Mm-hmm. The prodigal son was, he left home, and he was gone for weeks and months and years. And when he decided to return home, you know, his father was just excited and rejoiced and celebrated.
Absolutely.
And a good reminder that that's how our Heavenly Father
feels towards us too.
Right. Even when we come back to His Word, He mm-hmm. just is, He rejoices and He's excited.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things I do to refresh, as I said, is I choose a different version.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I know what my kids are going to find when they have to go through my house after I die. And they're going to find all those boxes of notebooks and Bible study books.
Yeah.
And I keep them. And I have spiral notebooks where I've gone through seasons of, okay, I'm just going to read through the book of John, maybe. And every verse that jumps out at me, I would write the verse down, and then I'd write down what I felt God was telling me about that verse.
Yeah.
And then I would just keep going. So I have spiral notebooks full of Word and what I felt the Lord was saying. Because sometimes writing, reading, writing, engaging it connects you with the pleasure of it. And every once in a while, Catherine, I'd be like, never saw that because I'm looking for it specifically to tell me something.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, yeah, I got to read, and I don't like to read today. But if you engage it...
I don't feel like taking the time.
Right. And now we're back to, again, like last week, baby steps.
Yeah.
But if you could baby step a commitment to 5 minutes, 10 minutes...
Yeah.
Don't think you've got to compare yourself to anybody else's Bible study time or effort. And I'm saying that because I want people to feel free to engage it with what they have.
So I was thinking...
Oh, welcome, Sharon.
So I was thinking about, you and I do Bible studies for prayer time here, and how we found ones that really went to some real basic...
Oh, yeah, recently.
Yes.
Yeah, so Sharon's reminding me that... Because when you meet a lot of older women in the church or men, and they've been born again for a long time, there's a tendency to think that all we do is, you know, really get into the deep things of God and the deep things of the Word every minute of every day.
Okay.
And so Sharon just reminded me that one of the things we did in the last couple of months of last year was we picked these Bible study books that were actually for new believers.
Oh.
So that we could go back to the basics because we can complicate the Word and our walk, and that can cause it to be very dry. And so we were actually kind of laughing about it when we first got it, but I will just tell you, it was actually very refreshing to sort of go back to, am I really understanding and managing the basics even after all these years?
Wow.
There were many areas where we were like, yes, this is where we're doing well. Aha, we can see how the Lord wants us to, you know, come back and refresh and grow in that.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting to do.
Yeah, that does sound like something else that I could put into practice. Because I've been born again for over 15 years.
Right.
And so there is, I will admit that I tend to fall into a tendency of, well, I know this. I have heard it.
I will tell you, and again, being vulnerable and honest today, I might be reading an article by somebody and they're discussing the scripture, and then they'll put the scripture itself in, and I tend to jump over it because, okay, yeah, I know what that scripture is. I just want to see what somebody else has to say about it.
Yeah.
And yet I have to catch myself to say, well, they put this scripture here for a reason. God, and I want people to read the scriptures I put in my material. I feel there's a reason God gave me that scripture to go with that.
Yeah.
So I have to remind myself not to get too arrogant in my knowledge.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that can dry things up.
Yeah. Well, and I was impressed, too, by just thinking about how much God loves us. The height and the depth of...
And the breadth. Yeah.
Yeah, of which He loves us. There's two spots that I was thinking of. Ephesians 3:17-19 that I'll read here. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. To know this love.
Yes.
That surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I was reading that this morning, and it just really struck me that it's wide and long and high and deep, and I want to be rooted in it.
Right.
And that reminded me of the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of soil are we?
Right.
What kind of soil am I right now?
Right.
I think maybe soil can change. It can if you put the wrong thing in it.
Right.
Coming from a farm, yeah. Or you can poison your soil by planting the wrong things or letting the weeds grow up, or we call it letting the ground go fallow when mm-hmm. it just dries out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And in order to then replant that field, you have to turn the soil again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to soften it up. You have to bring that good soil back to the surface.
Yeah. The start of my prayer this morning, too, was, Jesus, help me to be fertile soil. Help
yes.
me to be soil that is mm-hmm. takes in the word and is rich and
right.
strong and not full of rocks or weeds.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, a couple other ideas just to kind of make the word fun is when I was in Hawaii one time, I bought, it's called the Jesus Book. Now, it is Hawaiian Pidgin in the New Testament and it is actually a Wycliffe translation. So it's a valid, legitimate translation into how they speak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's fun. No, I've not read the whole thing because it's also not easy to read.
Okay,
because my language is different. A topical Bible might be helpful. Focus on a topic rather than just trying to read through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Personalizing passages. In other words, putting yourself in it and saying, Jesus, God is saying this to me, like that prayer you just prayed.
Yeah.
I pray that I, Pauline, would
be rooted,
rooted and grounded, and that I would know just the vastness and the height and the breadth of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you put yourself into it, all of a sudden, wait, whoa, this is me. It applies to me.
Yeah.
And I need to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
And then Sharon and I talked a little bit about the Bible study books that we've been doing. I also had a couple of years where I did what I called make a date with Jesus. I had a regular weekly sort of date with him.
Oh.
And I lived in California at the time, mm-hmm. and I would go to the ocean. I would go hiking in the redwoods. And I would just sit and listen. I took my Bible, a notebook, and a pen. And that's what I would do. Well, water. But I would take that with me. And I would let Jesus just talk to me, and I would write notes. And I have pictures of those places, and I have the things that the Lord shared with me in a photo album. And it refreshes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Pauline, I really appreciate all the tips and the suggestions, and I will put them, I'll be praying about them and see what the Holy Spirit
I would love. I'm sorry. I would love if people would connect with us on social media or at our Dunamos, Your Dunamos Life at Dunamos.com and share some of their ideas of how to refresh their Bible study or what do they do. And maybe, I'm thinking particularly on Facebook when this show is up in our Dunamos Center Ministries page, share with us, share with everybody. You know, this is what I do to refresh the word. This is an idea that I have for how you can be renewed in what you're doing there.
Yeah.
I would love to hear other people's ideas.
Me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Catherine, thank you for also sharing your vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we'll talk with you again soon.